I thought we would take a look briefly at the book of Galatians. There is much talk today about the fact that we are not under the law, but under grace. And there's a lot of confusion in that, and in particular in the book of Galatians. People teach that the book of Galatians is teaching you that we are not saved by the law, but we're saved by grace. And the book of Galatians is not teaching that really at all. The book of Galatians is teaching us how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We often forget the fact that the law was given to save people. Not to get them saved, but to help them to see the fact that they are sinners, and they're pretty bad sinners. When you hear, "Thou shalt not," and you do, you know that you are messing up, that you are sinning against God, and God doesn't like it, and all you have to do is just read about it in the Old Testament. What happened to the children of Israel who got the law and didn't do what God told them to do? And not only, you don't have to just read about it in the Old Testament, you can just pick up the daily newspaper and read about the consequences of sin. The Jews are still scattered all over the world. And they will be scattered all over the world until the real end times, basically speaking. And I was just reading in my devotions that Ezekiel said to the Valley of Dry Bones, get up. And God put flesh on those bones and join the bones together and put flesh on them, raised them up and brought them into the land. And that's going to happen. But today the Jews, because of their sin, are scattered abroad. So the book of Ephesians is really telling us how we need to live. And in the bottom line, I believe, is that we're to live like the Lord Jesus Christ lived. He is the example for us to pattern our life after. And when you try to take a book that's trying to teach that truth and make it a salvation book, you have confusion confounded. And I want to read the last three verses of the book of Galatians. We're not going to study it in reverse, but this sets the tone for the whole book, I believe. At least verse 16 and 18. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. First of all, he's addressing brethren. Brethren are those who are interested in the Word of God. The Word of God is unique in that it deals with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens deal with a heavenly inheritance. A heavenly inheritance means riches in heaven. It also means positions of responsibility and honor for those who are kings and lords who will be ruling over the earth in the administration of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of the kings. He is the Lord of the lords. He is the only potentate, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. This passage of Scripture that we just read in verse 16 encourages us to walk according to this rule. The word walk here means to march in rank. March in an orderly fashion. It's not like the mother who said, "Look at my son. Everybody is out of step but him." And We need to get in step. We need to get in line. That's what this word walk means. And the word here, according to this rule, the word rule here has to do with a line. This is a benchmark. This is the standard. The book of Galatians is teaching us to walk according to the standard or the line or the rule set down in this book. If you do that, you're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you're going to have peace. And the Lord's going to have mercy upon you. And let me tell you, I do want peace today. And when I stand in His presence, I want the Lord to be merciful to me. I'm so thankful that James tells us, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall" what? "Obtain mercy." So you know what we need to be? We need to be merciful. To whom? To each other? To our neighbor? We need to be kind to them. Then, and of course, upon the Israel of God. The book of Galatians is dealing with the nation of Israel from the law perspective. Because there was a group back in Paul's day that said, "Look, you've got to keep the Mosaic law. You've got to observe circumcision and all that goes with it. The ceremonial law, the law of Moses." But in verse 18, he says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." He's talking to brethren, and he is saying, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is the grace of the Lord? It's the power that we need to serve Him. And it says here that we need His grace to be with our spirit. Well, it's very interesting what the word spirit means. But let me back up here a little bit, because I'm just teaching out of the Bible rather than my notes. And I want to pick up on this concept of walking. The word walk is used two other places besides here in the 16th chapter. And in Galatians 5:16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The word walk here is different from the word walk in verse 16 of chapter 6. This word walk here has to do with living, being occupied with life. This word walk means as we walk over here and as we walk over here, you know, as we are going about our daily life. This means to walk in different directions, in different ways. This walk has to do with life. And we're to walk in the Spirit. I know that the word Spirit is capitalized in this verse, but I don't think that this word Spirit is a reference to the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the whole book of Galatians, the word Holy Spirit, the two words, are nowhere to be found. This Spirit here is not the Holy Spirit. I find it a bit difficult to relate how I can walk in the Spirit if it's the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? You know, I really can't put my teeth into that. I cannot grasp that concept, because I am not always aware of the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit indwells me, but the Holy Spirit is not always bubbling, as people would think of it. But this word Spirit here is a reference to attitude and lifestyle, where it says walk in the Spirit that we find in the book of Galatians, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know what the lust of the flesh is. I experience that, and you do too. And so therefore by walking or living in the Spirit that we find in the book of Galatians, we will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. This Spirit, by the way, is the Spirit of adoption, or the Spirit of sonship. This is the Spirit in which Jesus Christ lived. And we will see that more in just a moment. In Galatians 5:25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The word live here I associate with the walk of Galatians 5:16. It's the walking or the living. If we're living in the Spirit of a son, let us also march, be in step with that Spirit of sonship. Was Jesus Christ approved? Yes, He was. Will He rule and reign? Yes, He will. And we will too, if we will live in that same Spirit. Now, I was looking at verse 18 when I backed up a bit, but let me just say this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We need the power of Christ if we're going to walk in the Spirit of His Son. And that's the reason why the grace is to be with our spirit. The spirit of pleasing the Lord. Now, walking like a son. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This verse is written to save people. Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time. He was born a son. He was born a king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And He came to redeem them that were under the law. He came to redeem Israel. In fact, He came only to Israel at the beginning. And He kept it very private what He talked to the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan. And He never went to the house of a Gentile. He healed a few Gentile people in His day, but He never touched them, and He really didn't go to their house. He just said, you know, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they were healed. So, His ministry was not primarily to Gentiles, but only to Jews. He says that we, the family, might receive the adoption of sons. Here is something that is offered to those in the family of God, and we might receive it or we may not. We can fail to receive being placed in a position of a son. In fact, the word adoption of son is one Greek word. One word, it means to place as a son, singular in meaning. It has here in plural, but it's really singular. To place in a position of a son. A unique position. Sons of God are those who rule and reign. Angels are called sons of God. And angels today are ruling over the cities of the earth. The prince of Persia was an angel. Fallen angel. But yet nevertheless, he ruled over Persia. He still does. He hadn't died. The prince of Greece rules over the nation of Greece, and so forth. So, now, because ye are sons, actually, and because ye are walking as sons. Now, I put this word walking in parentheses. This is my comment. This is not Greek. This is just my comment. We are not sons of God today. The people say that we are sons of God today. If I'm a son today, where are the 10 cities that I'm ruling over? This passage of Scripture, I left the verse out, but in verse 7, it says, if you're a son, you're no longer a servant. Now you tell me, have you been brought out of being in the service of being a servant? No. We are servants of God. We are servants of each other. But one day we will not be servants. We will be sovereigns. We will be ruling and reigning under the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are not sons, but we can live like one. Live like what? What son? the Lord Jesus Christ. We can live like Him. Jesus was the Son of God here on the earth. Was He ruling and reigning while He was walking around down here? No, He was not. I mean, He had authority over fish and bread. I mean, He could keep passing out fish out of a basket of fish and five loaves. I mean, He had that authority, or He had the authority to have more fish than the net would hold, swim into the apostles' fishing expedition. But He was not ruling and reigning over any cities, even though He was a Son. But He behaved like we need to behave. And He is the Son of God, and we need to behave as He did. Now, I brought out the fact, by the way, this Spirit of His Son is the ability to cry, Abba, Father. And we'll look at that in just a moment. What does it mean to cry, Abba, Father? That's the Spirit that the book of Galatians is dealing with, being able to pray, Abba, Father. I brought out the fact in John 14 that the Lord said, I will pray the Father and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, and for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I believe that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. I know that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells us. But the Spirit of His Son may not. We might not receive that Spirit. And the reason why we may not receive that Spirit is because we're not living a lifestyle that is in harmony with that Spirit. Okay? In Galatians 3, in verses 2 and through 5, it says, This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now this Spirit is received by faith. And faith only comes by what? By hearing and believing the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It is the mysteries of the kingdom of the heaven. And so, the Spirit that is found in the book of Galatians is received when you believe the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and embrace them. And he continues, Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? This Spirit is ministered to the individuals. I am ministering to you that Spirit this morning. I don't minister the giving of the Holy Spirit. That's God's business. That's something that Jesus Christ prayed the Father would do, and He did it. When we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But now this Spirit, I can minister it to you. And you can receive it on the basis of faith. You can't smell it, you can't touch it, but you believe it and you act upon it, because that's what faith is. It's evidence of things that you can't see, smell, touch, or feel, and it changes your lifestyle. Now, what is the rule or practice of the Spirit of sonship? Well, Mark chapter 14, verse 36 says, And He said, this is the Lord Jesus praying what we need to learn to pray. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. When you pray, Abba, Father, you're saying, or admitting, or confessing that God Almighty has the power to do anything He wants to do. But we're also admitting and confessing and submitting to the fact that it's not our will that needs to be done. That is the spirit that we find in the book of Galatians. That is the spirit, the way it's translated as adoption. It's really to be placed in a position of the Son. Let me just pause here a moment in our thoughts. People associate adoption with salvation. I've even heard a song on a conservative Christian radio station, "I'm so glad I've been adopted into the family of God." And I just hang my head in despair hearing that song. Why do I need to be adopted into the family when I was born into the family? It doesn't make sense. And so therefore, that's a very bad translation. The word adoption of sons is from, like I said before, is one Greek word. It means to place in the position of a son. And Revelation 21:7 says, I will be a son of God if I'm an overcomer. So being an overcomer will allow me to be placed in the position of a son. Now, when we cry, Abba, Father, we're saying, not our wills but thine be done. Yet, Father, we know that you can do anything you want. If you can drown the Egyptian army in the sea, after I've walked over on dry land, maybe you've even done a little running, I know that you can do anything that you want done for me. I can trust you with that. Now, not only was that submitting to the will of the Father, and He did, Jesus Christ submitted to the will of the Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto His disciples, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." When we cry, Abba, Father, I believe we're praying that as well. We're praying that I'm here to do His will, and I'm here to finish, not quit. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Here again is the spirit of sonship. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. Jesus was ministering the Spirit to His disciples. What Spirit? The Spirit of sonship, by crying, Abba, Father. John 8:29, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please Him. Boy, I'd like to do that, wouldn't you? I would always like to do the things that please the Father. And you know that if we have this attitude, you know what we're anticipating? Entrance into the kingdom. I wanted to include Matthew 7:21, where it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I want to do the will of the Father. That's part of submitting to the Spirit of sonship, which the book of Galatians is written. Now, I can already tell you that we don't have enough time to go through the verses that we have to go through. So, Lord willing, we'll pick up here where we left off this Sunday, and we will probably add to it. But one thing I want to conclude my message with this morning, and that is on the last page. I want you to go to the last page of your notes and the last verse. Galatians 5:22. And the fruit of the Spirit His love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness and faith. You want to know if the spirit of sonship is working in your heart and life? You'll have this fruit. I don't think this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I don't even know how to get it from Him, if you understand what I'm saying. But this doesn't have the word Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit of this, which is being dealt with in the book of Galatians. And if I have this Spirit, I'm going to produce love. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to endure. I'm going to be gentle or kind. And I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to please God. I do believe that we need this. We need this. Because oftentimes we associate this with the Holy Spirit, and I really don't believe this is dealing with the Holy Spirit. This is dealing with the Spirit of sonship, and if we are living in it, we're going to have these fruits to share with other people. Father, I just pray You'd help us to bear these fruits in our life. Father, our desire is to hear, "Well done, and thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. Our desire, Lord, is to cry, "Abba, Father," and mean it from the heart. Not just lip service. Many have lip service, but their heart is far from You. And we desire, Lord, that our hearts will be near. We can draw nigh unto Thee with clean hands and a pure heart through the shed blood. And that we can cry, "Abba, Father." And then share the peaceful fruits of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.